Hello and welcome to another short audio version of the service that has been recorded for Sunday the 4th of April. I hope that you'll be blessed and that God will be glorified during this short service. But before we begin, I have one announcement to make. Next week I am taking a few days off, therefore the service for next Sunday is one that has been pre-recorded by the current moderator of the General Assembly, the Right Reverend Dr. David Bruce. Then, for a number of factors over the following two Sundays, I will not be speaking in Clogher and Glenhoy, but I have asked the speakers taking those services to pre-record a message for me, which I will then upload to the websites. God willing, on those two Sundays, you will hear me lead the service and hand over to the speakers. This, however, is entirely dependent upon them being able to pre-record their message. If they can't, then unfortunately there will be no service that week, which I cannot announce in advance. So the only way you will know is to dial the number as usual and listen to see if the date of the service I announce corresponds to the Sunday of that week. Normal service will, God willing, be resumed on Sunday the 2nd of May. As we approach God now in worship, let us refocus our minds, and in order to do that, let us read from his word. In Luke chapter 24, we find this account of the women going to the tomb that very first Easter Sunday morning. And therein we read, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen.'" Let us now come before Almighty God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, every day that we come before you, we have reason to give you thanks. Thanks for breathing life into us. Thanks for our families and friends. Thanks for the material possessions you have enabled us to acquire. Thanks for the food that we have easy access to. But as great as many of these things are, they are nothing by comparison to what you have provided for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Today, we remember the event when he rose victorious from the grave. Having paid the price for sin, he defeated its curse. That was the day that death itself was slain. It could not hold him. It had to surrender to him. And because of that, it no longer has mastery over those who trust in him for the forgiveness of their sins. Heavenly Father, we marvel at your amazing grace towards us, because none of this was merited by us. We have nothing to offer you but our sin. We have no attributes that make us pleasing to you. Our salvation is all of you. We are saved and kept by you. We are delivered from death to life by you. Blessed be your great name. But despite all of this, O Lord, we do not love you as we ought to. Instead, we do so falteringly. We have often loved the darkness of this world in preference to you. We have practiced deceitfulness and pride. We have forgotten and forsaken your many mercies. We have trampled underfoot your beloved Son, who died to redeem us. We have tried to flatter you with empty, meaningless praise. We have not given you the best of our lives, but the leftovers. To make time for the fleeting pleasures of this world, we have sacrificed time with you. Even now, O Lord, some of us will be here out of a sense of duty, not out of gratitude to you. Heavenly Father, lead us now to repentance. Lead us to renounce our sin and condemn ourselves, whilst trusting only in your amazing grace that flows even to the chief of sinners. These things we ask now, O Lord, in the precious name of your Son and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're now going to hear from God's Word. So if you have your Bibles at hand, can I encourage you to open them at Matthew chapter 28, where we'll begin reading at verse 1. So that is Matthew chapter 28, and we will begin reading at verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." And we end our reading there at verse 10 and thank God once again for this reading from his truth. We're now going to bow our heads in prayer once again, this time with our prayer of intercession. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne of mercy once again, we take this opportunity to think of others less fortunate than ourselves. In particular, Lord, we remember the nation of Myanmar, which is in turmoil following the military coup there. Heavenly Father, we pray for all those who have been bereaved in recent weeks, with their loved ones having been killed by the military, who are seeking to crush all protests against the military government. Comfort them, we pray, O Lord. We pray for the thousands who have been badly beaten during the protests. May they receive proper medical treatment for their injuries. We pray for those who have been arrested for their opposition to the coup, and ask that you would raise up those who are able to give them proper legal representation. We pray, O Lord, that the international community would be able to exert pressure on the generals in charge in a way that does not make life harder for the citizens of Myanmar than it already is. We pray that this pressure will cause the generals to call free and fair elections where the people's voice can be heard and be respected. We pray too for the nation of Mozambique, where an Islamic extremist militia is gaining the upper hand in an insurgency in one of the country's northern provinces. Heavenly Father, as always, civilians are suffering terribly as they are driven from their homes or are killed or captured and subjected to brutal, inhumane treatment by this group. We pray, O Lord, that the security forces of Mozambique will be able to regain the upper hand in this struggle and drive these insurgents out of the areas they have already captured. We pray that the government, crippled by international debt, will be given sufficient support by the international community to defeat this insurgency. Lord, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ today, we remember all those who cannot do so with the freedoms that we enjoy. We pray for all those across our world who are persecuted for having accepted Christ as their Saviour. Grant them, O Lord, strength, grace and encouragement to keep the faith, to run the race marked out for them. May those who currently oppose them come to faith themselves. And may those countries currently closed to your gospel be transformed by it. Finally, O Lord, we pray for your church here in the Clogher Valley. Help us, O Lord, to faithfully continue spreading the news first proclaimed at the empty tomb, Christ is risen. May his presence in our lives be evident to all who know us. Continue, we pray, to lay your healing hand upon all those of our number and those known to us in the community who are unwell at present. Grant them, along with their loved ones, your peace and reassurance, we pray. These things we ask now, O Lord, in our glorious Saviour's name. Amen. News has the power to transform our lives. That is a reality which many of you already know, and others will come to realise as they progress through life. Sometimes that news is terrible, and upon receiving it, we are plunged into sadness, anxiety, and despair, such as when we are told that a loved one has died or we have lost our job. At odd times, it is such good news that it blows away the clouds of doubt, anxiety and despair which have cast a dark shadow over us, and it fills us with joy and reassurance, such as when a loved one comes through a very serious operation, or if you have got the grades you needed in your exams to progress to the next level of education, or to be eligible to apply for the job you really want. In our Bible reading today, we find two women, both called Mary, who began their day filled with overwhelming grief and despair, given all that they had experienced in the previous week. Just 1 week earlier, they had followed Jesus into Jerusalem and witnessed him being greeted like a conquering hero. But by the Friday, he had been arrested and subjected to a joke of a trial and then condemned by many of those same people to be crucified. Then they had watched helplessly as he was taken, beaten to within an inch of his life, and crucified. They had witnessed as Jesus had writhed in agony upon the cross and heard him utter his final words, "It is finished," and breathe his last breath. They had watched as his lifeless body was removed from the cross, hastily prepared for burial before the onset of the Sabbath, and taken to a tomb hewn out of rock, which was sealed shut by a large stone. At the sight and sound of that stone rolling into place, the darkness that filled that tomb filled their hearts also. Jesus was gone, and with him everything they had dared hope for. Numb with grief, no doubt wondering how it had gone so wrong so quickly, they had made their way back into the city to observe the Sabbath. Then on the Sunday morning, these two women, who had been with Jesus through thick and thin, went to perform one last act of devotion to the man who had offered them so much hope. Luke's Gospel tells us They went there to finish preparing Christ's body for burial, something which had not been completed due to the haste to have him buried before the onset of the Sabbath. We can imagine that as they did so, they trudged to the tomb with weary hearts, still reeling from the events of the previous 72 hours, still unable to comprehend what had happened. But as they made their way there, as verse 2 tells us, there was a violent earthquake. And as the ground shook violently beneath their feet, one can only imagine that they feared the tomb would collapse in on itself. Christ's body would be buried under a dense pile of rubble, and they would be denied this last act of devotion to their Lord. But as we know from our reading, this earthquake did not result from the sudden movement of tectonic plates of the earth's crust. It was caused by the arrival of an angel of the Lord, who rolled away the stone which had sealed the tomb where Christ's body had been placed. The arrival of this angel freaked out the guards who had been stationed there to prevent the disciples coming and stealing the body of Christ, and then claiming he had risen from the dead, as he said he would. These men, who as soldiers would have seen and experienced the horror of hand-to-hand combat, were so terrified by what they saw that they passed out. So imagine the scene as these two women came upon the tomb, sat upon the stone that had sealed the tomb, and now did not, was a figure bathed in dazzling light. And on the ground lay the Roman soldiers, motionless as though they were dead. I dare say that at that moment they experienced what we would call sensory overload, in that they simply could not comprehend what they were seeing, and that their feelings of despair were immediately replaced by overwhelming fear. But as they stood there, stunned by what they were seeing, probably wondering if it was actually real, the figure sitting on the stone spoke to them. Knowing their fear, he first of all reassured them and told them not to be afraid. And then he told them news that changed everything. There, in that moment, these two women heard news that had to be shared. As verses 5 and 6 tell us, the angel said to them, "I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. He is not here. He has risen," are seven words that have changed history. Those words testify that Christ's sacrifice for sin upon the cross had been accepted by God. It had satisfied God's righteous requirements for dealing with sin once and for all. They testify that Christ was victorious over sin and its consequences, death. And they verify that Christ really was who he claimed to be. His resurrection was the greatest in a long line of miracles that he performed as a means of proving he was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. He had told his disciples on a number of occasions that he would suffer and die and rise from the grave. Matthew recorded 6 of those conversations. The last occasion he did so was during the Last Supper, the very night he was arrested. But his disciples had not understood what he was really saying. They had not dared to believe it could be true. But the angel didn't simply expect the woman to take his word for it. He invited them to see for themselves that Christ was no longer in the tomb. This reminds us that he did not remove the stone to let Jesus out, but rather to let these women and others who would follow in. One can imagine them cautiously entering the tomb and, in its dim light, staring at the folded grave clothes. The last time they had seen them, they had contained the body of their Lord. Now they were neatly folded on the slab of rock where his body had been placed. They were not discarded, strewn over the floor of the tomb, nor were they torn to shreds, They had been neatly folded and placed there by the Lord himself, because he no longer had need of them. This was not the work of people who had hastily entered the tomb and snatched Christ's body before the guards realized what was happening. It was the work of Almighty God himself. Christ had risen from the dead. There, in that moment, the fog of confusion that had enveloped these two women for the last 3 days began to clear. It really was true. There was no other explanation for what they were seeing. Christ had risen from the dead. So at the command of the angel, they exited the tomb and went to tell the disciples. They had approached that tomb heavy of heart, but they left it with a mixture of fear and joy. Fear because they had just seen the evidence of a power that was out of this world, the power of Almighty God, and joy because of what it had brought about. So off they set, running as fast as their legs would carry them to tell the disciples the news that Christ had risen from the dead. These two women were the first human messengers of this great news, and they remind us that all who hear it and believe it are to share it. We are not to keep it to ourselves. We are to broadcast it to those God has sent us to, those he has placed us amongst, such as our homes, our workplaces, our places of education, or our community. It is news that they need to hear because it proves God's plan of salvation has worked. Our sins can be removed from us. We can be forgiven if we trust in Christ, who paid the price of sin for us and has risen from the grave. These women heard news that had to be shared, but that is not all that happened to them that morning, because Matthew tells us they also met and worshipped the risen Lord. One can imagine them running along that path, away from the tomb, hearts bursting with joy, when suddenly, there in front of them, appeared the Lord himself, who greeted them in a warm and friendly manner, similar to the way we would say hello to someone that we know. They had no doubt as to who he was, because as Matthew tells us, they fell at his feet, clasped hold of him, and worshipped him. This was no apparition. They were able to take hold of him and feel the substance and form of his body. These two women had seen Jesus die, seen him buried, and now they were the first to see him alive. If they had any doubts about what they had seen and heard at the tomb, those doubts were completely dispelled. Not only that, but if they had concerns that the risen Lord would be different in some way, inaccessible to them, or not as loving and patient with them, those concerns were also dispelled. Jesus did not rebuke them for their lack of faith. He knew that they had gone looking for him as a corpse, despite having told them he would rise from the dead. He told them there was no need to be afraid, and then he told them to continue with their task of telling his disciples that he had risen from the dead. But note how he referred to his disciples, "my brothers," as verse 10 tells us. These were men who had completely failed him, having deserted him and gone into hiding following his arrest. With the exception of only one, none of them had been there at the crucifixion. It wasn't them who took down his body and placed it in the tomb. They were nowhere in sight. All of them had deserted him, and yet here he referred to them as his brothers. This helps to remind us that if we want to know what Christ is like now as our risen Lord and Saviour, all we need to do is read about him in the Gospel accounts of him. Therein we will see his patience and kindness, his gentleness, and yet also his strength of character. There we will see someone who does not turn away any who approach him, the social outcasts as well as the well-to-do. There we will see someone who can heal anyone of the affliction that has enslaved them. There we can see God in the flesh, who died to take away our sin. One day, all of us will meet the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Suddenly, we will appear before him, and all of us will worship him. But on that day I wonder how he will greet you. Will he greet you with the words, "Do not be afraid"? Or will he say something like, "Be very afraid"? The answer to that question depends upon how you view Christ in this life. Do you acknowledge him as your risen Saviour? Or is he dead to you? Christ the Lord is risen today. Do you believe it? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that on today we remember this great day, that great day in history when two women went to the tomb expecting to find your body but found the risen Lord, found that the Lord had risen from the dead and met with him and worshipped him. Lord, we thank you for what the resurrection means. We thank you for the hope that it gives us. Lord, we pray that each and every one of us would know this great reassurance, that we would have the risen Lord as our Saviour. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all forevermore. Amen.